Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us up here in the press box, first of all, I'm always very impressed with the work that this young lady does. Padre Annie Heilbrun from the San Diego Union-Tribune. And, you know, the thing I like, Annie, is that you just kind of made yourself important in journalism in San Diego by just doing a great job. I mean, just hustling and putting together great pieces when we used to cover the Chargers, and now transferring that over to the Padres and hosting shows and doing interviews down on the field, traveling a little bit with the team and just doing profiles on these players. A little bit of everything and doing it all well. So congratulations on that.
Well, I really appreciate that. And what's great about that, Ello, is back in the day, you know, you were one of my first radio interviews back in the day when I was first coming up. And I just remember thinking, wow, like this is so cool to be on the radio and to be doing these interviews. And I just really appreciate you and the fact that you were always kind to me and all the work that I was doing. And I remember that. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely. No problem. And it's fantastic to see everything you're doing. Tell us a little bit about kind of what your number one thing at the UT is now. Because, I mean, it's like. I said, you're the master of so many aspects of this journalism world. So I'm never quite sure what you're focusing on 100%.
It's crazy because when the Chargers left and the Chargers were the main beat for me,
yeah,
it was kind of like there was a year of what do we do? You know, how do we approach this? And I think that what's been great now is I can really put a lot of focus into the Padres, and because of the Manny Machado signing, because of the fact that they're trying to gear up to 2020, 2021, there's a lot of stories now where before you didn't have as many, you didn't have as much that you could really talk about. So I would say primarily now I'm on Padres, but I just love good stories. So anything good that I can get my hand on around San Diego, whether that's with the Seals or whether that's with, you know, any kind of high school sports or anything like that, I love doing that. And at the UT, you know, as you know, Chris, there's so much change, especially, in the newspaper industry and in the media industry as a whole. So I think we're just trying to all figure it out and keep, you know, video. Luckily for me, they still see video as an important part of the newspaper and what the newspaper delivers, and I still get to write every once in a while as well, which is what I started doing was in print journalism. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun where I'm lucky that I got kind of, you know, get to do a whole lot of different things.
What's your best strategy advice to somebody who's coming up in journalism and wants to do kind of, you know, feature type stories like you do, great human interest stories? What's the best advice in a way, because I'm going to listen to the answer to this as well. What's the best way to get athletes to open up a little bit?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, what's your strategy? Because it's not easy. I mean, these guys are, they don't know you at first, you know, and they don't want to tell you a whole bunch of stuff about themselves until they maybe get to know you a little bit and get to trust you. But to get the fun human interest stories, you have to be able to delve a little deeper than just, hey, what'd you think about the game today? You know,
no, I think so. It's interesting. I think that I've been asked this, and I had to think about it once for a class that I was talking to you before, and I think it's a few things. I think it's being around a lot because they see you're hustling and they see you're working. Yeah. And when I say being around, I don't mean just standing around, you know, looking at them, but actually working and hustling and trying to do good stories and things like that. So they do notice that sort of thing. And then I think it's always acting with integrity because, you know, one kind of bad move, they all talk to each other. And if you kind of get bookmarked as that person that blows things out of context or things like that, then I think that can hurt you. So always acting with integrity. And then I think it's just being a human, you know, like you can't just look at them like athletes and, you know, you just feed me my quote and I go on my merry way. I mean, some people do that, but you have to kind of look at them as humans. And I think that's what I've always tried to do is just see them as one human to another trying to get by each day, you know, and like, how can we like learn from each other on that, you know? So it's kind of just taking more of an interest in them besides what they're doing on the field.
What do you think of the makeup of this particular Padre team and this clubhouse? I mean, obviously they're more successful than other Padre teams. And from everything I've heard, this clubhouse just really seems to mesh very well together.
You know, I've been part of clubhouses or locker rooms where they say that. They're like, oh, we really get along. We've got great camaraderie and chemistry. And it's really just kind of blowing smoke. Like, it's not really the real thing. You know, it, by midseason, it falls apart, you know. And here, I don't think that. I think that they really, truly, genuinely like each other. There's the fact that you've got guys like Eric Hosmer, who they all point to as the superstar, and the fact that he takes the time to learn everybody's, you know, kind of their wives, their children. He treats all of them as if they are on that status with him or not. I think that the way that the veterans have gone about that, it's really kind of leveled out the clubhouse where everybody feels like they're on the same page. Everybody feels happy to be around one another. But they have a lot of fun. Like, in the clubhouse, it's a really, really a light clubhouse. They're always having a lot of fun, joking with each other. So it is sincere, and I think that's why you see a lot of them grinding every game to find a way to win. Because I think they really, in baseball especially, you know, you can just care about your own stats, really, you know. But I really think they like to, you know, help the other guy win a game, you know. So I think that that's a good trait for them so far.
Annie Heilbrun from the San Diego Union-Tribune is with us here at Petco Park. Padres and Mets tonight. How about my guy? He's not my guy, but I interviewed him one time. And since I got
guy.
Since I got to interview him one
go.
Time, I called him Manny Machado. But what about Manny Machado? He's you know what? He came with a I don't want to say baggage, but yeah. He certainly came with a bit of an attached attitude.
A stigma,
yeah. Good. And I think he's wiped that out completely since he's been in San Diego. It seems to
Definitely.
Me that he's worked very hard to do that.
Definitely, and I think, you know, when you see him doing stuff like he did with Blooper, with the
mascot.
In Atlanta. I mean, when you see him just kind of playing around, doing all those videos, acting like a kid, you know, like a child would, like a fun, you know, at a baseball game. I mean, those are the sort of things where it's like, this guy just wants to be out there having fun, working hard, and being around his teammates. I mean, he really just doesn't exude any of the negative things that were said about him coming in the clubhouse. He is just one of the guys. I mean, he's playing basketball with, you know, the rest of the guys. They've got a hoop, a little mini hoop in there, just kind of hanging out, and they all love him. And so I think that he's really, you know, by being himself, he's gotten rid of kind of that stigma that we've seen come with him into it. But I just think he just really just enjoys playing baseball and being around his teammates and having fun. And I just don't think it's like more complicated than that, really. So it's been fun getting to know him and having him around and kind of learning from him as well as he kind of navigates this new team.
Watching him play is fun, too.
Yeah, watching him.
God, he's good.
That. You know what's crazy? That play at shortstop yesterday where he slid around. He did one of those little, like, you know,
yeah.
Slides on his knees. He makes it look so smooth. But what's amazing is, like, he's at shortstop, you know, and I know he can play both positions, but what a luxury that you can move him from third to short to wherever, and the guy doesn't look, I mean, just effortless, you know?
It looks effortless, but it's because he practices a lot, too. People don't really see all that. He probably takes more ground balls than anybody. That's why he makes it look so smooth.
And, you know, Kevin, just on that, there was a story in the Union Tribune by Kevin Acey over the spring training where he intentionally gets bad, you know, bad balls toward him so that
right.
he can practice,
yeah.
you know, go having to navigate that. So I think that exactly that, like, he puts so much work into it.
Yeah, people think that the he is naturally gifted. There's no question.
Yes.
But he's taken it to the level he's taken it to because he's worked so hard, and it's a good message to pass along to everybody. Annie, the home run, the grand slam yesterday, where did that rank in the thrills? I know you didn't have the post-game interview on the field.
Right.
Sometimes you do, but that probably saved you from getting doused with Gatorade
exactly.
anyway. But that had to rank right up there with one of the big thrills. I mean, for Padre fans, the players, everyone who saw that yesterday, it was really something.
It was one of the best, for sure. And I think, honestly, and we were talking to Andy Green about this after the media scrum today, I think because of the tension, you know, not the tension, that's probably not the right word, but the way the first two games had gone and the fact that it just hadn't popped yet. Like, you know, if he didn't hit that grand slam or they didn't score, that's it. You're going into this Mets series down another game, never have gotten one against the Dodgers yet. You know, I mean, it would have just felt so different. And so I think that part of that grand slam was the buildup of Friday and Saturday not going the way they wanted and not ending the way that they had hoped, but being close games. And so I when you saw Hunter Renfrow with his arms in the air, and everyone's seen that picture now, like that was like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday rolled into one in that moment. It was just big. It was really big for that clubhouse. I think that they're very aware that, like, you know, they obviously would have wanted to win Friday and Saturday, but winning Sunday like that in that fashion did a lot for them, that's for sure.
They know they can compete with the Dodgers.
Yeah. And they like this atmosphere. You know, I mean, I know it was a lot of Dodgers fans, and we expect that, but they liked the fact that it felt, there was booing, there was cheering, there was, like, you just felt like it was important, you know, and I think that, that was a lot of fun for them.
There was buzz.
Buzz, booing and cheering. What do you think you're going to have when you throw out that first pitch, Ello?
Booing
or cheering?
Booing.
I'm going to boo.
Yeah, Scraby will be leading the boos.
Yeah.
So he'll probably have him put a boo, B-O-O, up on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I'm going to go talk to the scoreboard people right now.
Go talk to the scoreboard people.
Did you practice? I mean, what is your strategy
that's what I said.
Here? You know?
I have no strategy other than to do everything possible not to completely, totally embarrass myself, but I'm not 100% sure I can avoid that from happening.
This is fantastic. I know Scraby's going to get it on video, so it's going to be, you know, no
very
matter what.
So.
Yeah.
It'll go viral one way or the other.
Yes.
You're nervous. I can feel it.
Oh, I'm totally nervous. Yeah, okay. I've been nervous since I found out about it. They told me, like, last Wednesday. I don't think I have had, like, 7 restless nights of sleep in a row.
Every once in a while, when Chris stops talking, I look over, and he's just, like, focused on the mound. He's just, like, staring at the mound, like, bring me the power.
From here, it really looks a long way away from home plate.
It does.
Just looks like a long throw there. I don't know.
I love it.
Thanks, Annie, for joining us.
Hey, I love it. Anytime, you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, Annie Heilbrun from the San Diego Union-Tribune, Gwen and Chris. We continue, and when we do, our countdown is coming up, and also a visit that we got today with the man of the hour, Hunter Renfrow. Hear what he had to say about his game-winning grand slam yesterday. That's still to come. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.